The New Testament reading comes out of the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 57 through 80. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard and that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives had this name." And they began motioning to the father to find out what he wanted to name him. And John asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately, John's mouth was open and his tongue was freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came upon all the neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered and said, "What then will become of this child? For indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon John." And then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke or sang this prophecy: "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. God has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David." And as he spoke, through his mouth of the holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us. Thus God has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that God swore to our ancestor Abraham, that to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve God without fear in the holiness and righteousness before God all of our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. And you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to God's people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God. The dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." And the child John grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. I will confess that I love Post-it notes. I do, those little yellow pieces of paper. Larry gave one to me to remind me to tell you about the Christmas Eve service music starting at 7:30. I mark my Bible with them. I'm using them a lot in the purple hymnal as I'm trying to find where things are. I put the important sticky notes on my computer. And I've been known to leave the church with a sticky note somewhere on my body that has been unanticipated. And the neighbors especially like to find them on my person. Now, I discovered that no one set out to invent sticky notes. Instead, in 1968, there was a man named Dr. Spencer Silver, who was a chemist at 3M. And he invented a low-tack adhesive that would stick to things, but then could be repositioned multiple times. Now, it wasn't what he wanted to invent. He was trying to invent a super strong adhesive, and he came up with a super weak one instead. And at the time, it was a solution without a problem. And for the next 5 years, he promoted his invention in 3M, but no one could figure out how to use it. But he had a friend in 1974 named Art Fry, who had heard about and seen this invention with no solution, no purpose. And this man sang in the church choir. And he became frustrated when the bookmarks he put in the hymnal fell out. Can you guys understand this? And then he remembered Dr. Silver's low tack adhesive. So he got some of it from 3M and put it on the bookmarks of his hymnal and discovered it worked great. Now, we Presbyterians like to say that Art Fry was a Presbyterian. I don't know, but since I'm here, I'm going to say yes, it was a Presbyterian choir until someone calls me out on that. Well, what was so interesting is he brought the idea back to 3M, and it took them 6 years longer to figure out what to do with this. And in 1980, they rolled out the Post-it note. And my life has never been the same. It took 12 years for this idea to come to fruition. And some may have given up in 6 years, and then maybe in six more years. But it was a fruitful 12 years. People talked, and they exchanged ideas, and they threw some out, and they took other ones, and they came up with Post-it notes. There's a lot that's said about waiting. What do we do in the in-between or until it happens time? Some see waiting as hard and pointless and frustrating. Others see waiting as delightful and weighty and fruitful and significant. Some think nothing happens in waiting and just don't do it. Others see waiting as a pregnant time, a time for growth and change. Some people see Advent as a waiting time, an active time. Others see it's a passive time and they would like to get it over. Because there is a lot of waiting in these 4 weeks before Christmas. For some of you, what you dislike about Advent is you're not allowed to sing Christmas hymns until Christmas Eve. Well, we've already blown that out of the water today. But we have held back on singing them during Advent. And someone didn't invent them to make this tradition to make your life unhappy. They invented this waiting to sing Christmas hymns so that we might have an active waiting time, that we might think about the Christ who was born in the world, to anticipate, to let something grow in us during this Advent time. Because I got to tell you, there's really no Santa Claus in the Bible. There is Christ, and I think Advent is our time to focus on that birth. Henri Nouwen said that waiting is essential for the spiritual life. But waiting as a disciple of Jesus is not an empty waiting. It is a waiting with a promise in our hearts that makes the already present what we are waiting for. We wait during Advent for the birth of Jesus. We wait after Easter for the coming of the Spirit. We wait for the ascension of Jesus, for the coming again of his glory. We are always waiting, but we're waiting in the conviction that we have already seen God's footsteps. Waiting for God is active, alert, and yes, joyful waiting. As we wait, we remember him for whom we are waiting. And as we remember him who we are waiting for, we remember him and our God who has created a new community. Ready to welcome others. There's a lot of waiting in the Gospel of Luke, just in this one chapter. I mean, we've been reading it for nearly a month. Maybe you're just waiting to get to the birth part. I mean, there's Zechariah and Elizabeth who have been waiting for a child even though they are way past that stage. Zechariah's been waiting for a chance to serve in the temple, and finally when he gets his opportunity, He's in the Holy of Holies. The angel, the messenger Gabriel, comes to him and said, God has heard your prayers. You and Elizabeth will have the baby you've been waiting for. And Zechariah, in a response, says, how will I know this is so? I'm an old man and my wife is getting on in years. And in response to that, the angel made him mute. He said, you're not going to speak until what I told you comes to pass. And when I preached on that passage a few weeks ago, I put out the idea that maybe the punishment of his not speaking wasn't a punishment. Maybe it wasn't because of his lack of belief. Maybe that angel wanted to give him a sabbatical from talk, a time to really ponder, a time to take in all that he had said, to contemplate. It's a gift more than a conviction, a waiting time, an active time. And we don't hear about Zechariah until 9 months and a couple weeks after that, and the birth of his son. And then we wait 8 days until the child is circumcised and he's named until Zechariah speaks. And you probably know that in that day, the community named the child. And the relatives had thought about it and they said, we're going to name him Zechariah after his father. Zechariah means God remembers. Then they said to the family, we're going to name him Zechariah. And Mary said, oh, no, you're not. His name is John. And so they went to the father. They motioned and said, what do you think? And he got that tablet and he wrote, his name is John. And John means Yahweh's gift or God is gracious. No one in the family had been ever named that before. But his name would be John. And as soon as Zechariah wrote that, his voice came back and his words were filled with hope and Holy Spirit and joyous prophecy. Some would say that the words he spoke were the most beautiful in all of the scripture. Such a transformation for the man whose last words were, how can this be so? He says, by the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give us light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the ways of peace. A transformation went on inside of Zechariah during his 9-month wait. His words, his response indicates that he must have prayed. He contemplated. And faith came to him. It changed his mind and his heart during his 9-month period. It's thought that maybe he really had a 9-month timeout, and it led to profound changes in his personality and in his faith. During that 9 months, he had an active silence, not just an outward silence of no words, but an inward silence. And one suggests that he contemplated his reflection on joy and repentance. His silence was a journey from incredulity to joy. A more base way of saying that is he moves from an old grump to a bubbling, joyful man. Zechariah transforms, fairly bubbles with joy like an explosion after much pressure. Joy birthed forth in him, cascading good words on all. Zechariah literally sings this. He's ready for fatherhood, and he's ready to take on whatever God puts out for him. John's words point towards God and to God's tender mercy, his loving kindness, to a future where one will be a light to those who sit in darkness, who sit in the shadow of death. And his son John will help prepare the way for this Jesus who is yet to come. And John and Elizabeth, they really didn't know what would happen next exactly. But they knew that God was in the future and their child John would play a part. They knew that they had changed, and they would keep on changing, and God would be incarnate and fleshed in the world, born of Mary, made of God, and they could wait for that to unfold. And they and we are to wait in an active way that looks for God at work in the world, to look for the extraordinary in midst of the ordinary, to be attentive to the where and when and how and what of divine grace. Or as Barbara Brown Taylor says, our waiting time is to find the extraordinary hidden in the ordinary. We are called to participate in God's own imagination, to see ourselves, our neighbors, and the world through God's eyes, full of peace, full of promise, ready to be transformed. And so for one day, I tried to see God's extraordinary in the ordinary. It happened with my sermon writing. I didn't write it till Saturday night. But I wasn't inactive. I worked about it. I thought about it. I scribbled on it. And God kind of rewarded that active waiting. Well, at least it's done. That's good enough for me on a Saturday. And I got invited to a wedding yesterday. When do I get just invited to the wedding? I sat in the back pew, if there was a back pew. I snuck some snacks during the service. But then Susan and Patty got up to do their vows, and Susan said something amazing. It's close as I'm going to get, Susan. You can correct them in the coffee hour if I don't have the vow right. She said, okay, yes, I will. Susan said to Patty, I've loved you for 18 years. And now I get to spend the rest of my years showing you different ways that I love you. I get to show you how I love you again and again in another way. See, that's a future. My future is to love you, and that's what I promise to do. Oh, that's one of those ordinary, extraordinary moments. I wonder if God this Advent might be saying to us to be quiet, so that we might learn to pray and to contemplate and to make room for this amazing image and vision of peace. I wonder if God might be saying, be quiet so you can learn to love people another way. I wonder if the Holy might be saying to us, slow down, so you don't miss the opportunity of God working in your world, in your life. I wonder if God might be saying, look what's around you and hold on to peace and justice and work for it. I wonder if God might be saying, so you're going to have to wait, so wait actively. For we are always waiting, but we're waiting in the conviction that we have already seen God's footsteps. Waiting for God is an active, alert, and joyful waiting. As we wait, we remember him for whom we are waiting, and we remember him as we create a community that is ready to welcome him when he comes again. May it be so. Amen.